Good evening and welcome to Politically Correct with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's topic is In the Beginning, The Case for God, brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Dark Order Game Over and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention, also minister of the church, Modern Day Christian Fellowship. Please help us with a donation at donate.eamedia.online or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Please help keep the truth online. I'll get my act together yet tonight. Sorry about that, folks. It's been a long day. We open with a prayer as we always do. Heavenly Father, in our deepest prayers, we look upon our world, a world awash with strife, disasters, with terror, with idols of gold being worshipped, with God wandering far from people's hearts. We pray you bring your glorious light back to these people and back to the wonderful world we live in, back to the United States of America in particular, that's become one of the most heathen outcrops of society. We pray that you bring light to these people's eyes. Bring them back to you, O Lord, O heavenly Lord of God. We pray for these things. Amen. And still have our January list of donors one time, Reverend Dave, Janet, Lisa, patrons, Patty, Linda, David, and Bruce. And Truth Premium Sinus was Patty, Linda, David, and Bruce. And patrons of Alicia, Reverend Dave, and Dan. Thank you so much for your donations. All those listening tonight, please, if you can give anything and donate to our great podcast and to Eternal Affairs Media, please do so. Also, please be sure and tell your friends about the podcast if you enjoy it. So we'll start out, as we always do before our topics, with some brief updates. So how about those truckers? Boy, I'll tell you, I never thought I would see anything like that. I'm waiting to see what happens on Sunday, folks. You know, I hate football. I don't know, that I'm sure people out there love it and they're going to hate me for that, but I hate sports to begin with. Sports and dancing are two things that I think are just absolutely absurd. Neither one accomplishes anything. At least with dancing, you get the girl. With sports, you get nothing, especially if you go to these games and spend thousands and thousands of dollars. And $7 million for a 10-second ad on the Super Bowl? Give me a break. But they're threatening to stop Super Bowl with all the truckers going out there and then going to head out towards Washington, D.C. And now Biden wants to call them terrorists so they can arrest them. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, football and watching the Olympics. Hey, at least it's Valentine's weekend, so we can be having our sweethearts by our sides on Valentine's weekend and not worry about the stupid bowl, so to speak. So tonight's topic is going to be an educational one. Hi, Eric. This topic tonight is about God, but it's not about Christianity. It's not about Judaism. You know, it's about the case for God. And when God, even the Muslims believe in some sort of a God. Even the practicers of New Age faiths believe in God. And there's a reason for that. And the reason that we're in such bad shape in America today and across the world is the lack of faith and a lack of belief in God. What has taken its place, unfortunately, is the God of science. I call it the God of gold. Science is what we do as people, not what God does as a creator. So we're going to talk about God because God is important. It's a reason we're losing our society today. Because if you have no creator, if you have no ruler that holds your entire faith and destiny and future over your head, you have no reason to be a good person. You have no reason to do what's right. So we shall begin We'll begin out of the Judeo-Christian Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, and there was morning. Day one. Now, why is Genesis in the Judeo-Christian Bible so critical? You know, Genesis is what the far left-wing atheists and non-believers of God want to destroy, because Genesis gives us God. Without God, you don't need Jesus. Without God, you don't need anything else but your science. So we're going to go to disprove the science, because the science actually is more of a religion than religion is. Because even in other countries and other nations and other religions, there's God. It is He who has created for you all things that are on earth. Moreover, His design comprehended the heavens. He gave order and perfection to the seven firmaments, and of all things He has perfect knowledge. And remember, Moses said to his people, "O my people, you have indeed wronged yourselves by your worship of the calf." Remember that Moses prayed for water for his people and said, "Strike the rock with your staff," and gushed forth therefrom 12 springs. Now, those words were not the words of the Judeo-Christian Bible. Those are the words of the Quran. God is the most important thing. Now, I'm going to read an interesting article that I found. I saved this years ago, and it's part of my teachings. Didn't even remember I still had it. Circa 1900. Now, I want you to listen to this. Very important. Then we're going to go over the case for God. Testimony for the Church. This is circa 1900. It's 120 years ago. And think about today. This was over 120 years ago. Now put this in context with what we have today. "Justice standeth far off, for the truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Isaiah 59:14. In the great cities, there are multitudes living in poverty and wretchedness, well nigh destitute of food, shelter, and clothing. While in the same cities, there are those who have more than heart could wish, who live luxuriously, spending their money on richly furnished houses, on personal adornment, or worse still, upon the gratification of sensual appetites, upon liquor, tobacco, and other things that must destroy the powers of the brain, unbalance the mind, and debase the soul. The cries of starving humanity are coming up before God, while by every species of oppression and extortion, men are piling up colossal fortunes. On one occasion, when I was in New York City, I was in the night season called upon to behold buildings rising, story after story, up toward heaven. These buildings were warranted to be fireproof, and they were erected to glorify their owners and builders. Higher and still higher the buildings rose, and in them most costly materials were used. Those to whom these buildings belonged were not asking themselves, "How can we glorify God?" The Lord was not in their thoughts. I thought, oh, that these who are investing their means could see the course of God as God sees it. They're piling up these magnificent buildings, but how foolish in the sight of the ruler of the universe is their planning and devising. They're not studying with all the powers of their heart and mind how they might glorify God. They've lost sight of this, the first duty of man. As these lofty buildings went up, the owners rejoiced with ambitious pride that they had money to use, gratifying self and provoking the envy of their neighbors. Much of the money was thus invested had been obtained through exaction, through grinding down the poor. They forgot that in heaven an account of every business transaction is kept, Every unjust deal, every fraudulent act is recorded. The time is coming when in their fraud and insolence, men will reach a point where the Lord will not permit them to pass. And they will learn there's a limit to the forbearance of Jehovah. The scene that next passed before me was an alarm of fire. Men looked at the lofty and supposedly fireproof buildings and said, they're perfectly safe. But these buildings were consumed as if made of pitch. The fire engines could do nothing to stay the destruction. The firemen were unable to operate the engines. I'm instructed that when the Lord's time comes, there should no change have taken place in the hearts of the proud, ambitious human beings, that men will find that the hand that's been strong to save will be strong to destroy. No earthly power can stay the hand of God. No material can be used in the erection of buildings that will preserve them from the destruction when God's appointed time comes to send retribution on men for their disregard of his law and their selfish ambition. There are not many, even among educators and statesmen, who comprehend the causes that underlie the present state of society. Those who hold the reins of government are not able to solve the problem of moral corruption, poverty, pauperism, and increasing crime. They're struggling in vain to place business operations on a more secure basis. If men would give more heed to the teaching of God's word, they would find a solution to the problems that perplex them. It was 120 years ago. 120 years ago, folks. Could that not have been written yesterday? Great cities, there are multitudes living in poverty and wretchedness, destitute of food, shelter, and clothing, while in the same cities, some have more than heart could wish and live luxuriously. I could write that today, and you wouldn't know it was written 100 years ago, 120 years ago. So what's the problem with society? What's the problem with God? Where did God go? See, God went to science, to the Big Bang. And I had this discussion a lot. I've brought this up in the past about talking to the scientists. And by way of background, we have some new folks. And thank you for coming to the show tonight. Those of you who have not been here before or don't come that often, I really appreciate it. Why talk to scientists and firemen and police officers? Because I've been both. I've been all three. And, you know, I started out as an engineer, working in the biomedical field. So I have the authority and the knowledge to talk about these things. And I've talked to engineers about this, and I've talked about the one thing I always bring up is that, you know, the engineers will say, oh, science. You know, there was this big bang, poof. And out of this little tiny pinhole came all of existence. And I look at them, I twiddle my fingers and tap the table and let them rant on, and then when they're done, I look at them and I say, so you're telling me that it makes more sense to say that everything that we have, all the planets, all the buildings, all the galaxies, trillions of galaxies came out of this little pinhole? Or is it more sensible to just say God created? Then I look at them and I say, well, tell me this. So if it all came out of that pinhole, then where in the hell did all this stuff come from before that? Had to have come from someplace. All the stuff had to have come from someplace. So what they're saying is that the stuff always existed. It came through a tiny pinhole, and bang, became the universe. Does that sound stupid? Tell me seriously. Does that sound stupid? That sounds almost as intelligent as Joe Biden. I mean, everything came out of a pinhole. Bang. Well, then you ask him, what came before that? Well, it didn't. Folks, the scientists have just contradicted themselves. Now, if you have one contradiction, how can you believe any others? I can tell you that God created. In 7 days, God created the heavens and the earth. I can't disprove it. I can't prove it. But I can tell you for a fact that that's what I believe in. That's what's been written for the last several thousand years, many languages, many dialects, many different religious beliefs. Some you might believe in, some you might not. You know, you can talk about Allah, but there you go. Bang, there's the creation. There's Moses. They're all talking about the same history. talking about God. So let's look at the science. First of all, let's debunk the scientists. The scientists say that we evolved from dirt. The dirt came from nothing, from a pinhole. And a pinhole spewed gas. The gas became dirt, and we grew, and we magically came out of dirt. Thank you, Joe Biden. I mean, the scientists. You know, and they call Donald Trump stupid. You know, Donald Trump was smart. It is stupid, really dumb. So, let's talk about what's called entropy. Now, anyone give a thumbs up on the screen if you know what entropy is. See, it's called the laws of thermodynamics. Now, the scientists say we came from nothing, and as we progress, things get better, and suddenly we become people. We become animals. We become plants. In reality, there's a thing called entropy. It's a quantity representing the unavailability of a system's thermal energy for conversion into mechanical work. So often the degree of disorder or randomness in a system. Now, the second law of entropy says that entropy always increases with time. This is the second law. The second law of thermodynamics, entropy or disorder, the disorder and randomness. Entropy always increases with time. So the scientists are saying that disorder is the natural order. If you have something that's ordered, like you've got gas in the universe, it should disperse and become nothing. It should go to it can't put itself together because it gets disordered, not ordered. And entropy is a lack of order or predictability or a gradual decline into disorder. A gradual decline into disorder. The second law of thermodynamics, entropy always increases with time. A gradual decline and disorder always increases with time. Yet man came out of rock. Now, how the hell can you believe anything the scientists say? They said it themselves. Things don't get better. They only get worse. I mean, think about this. Are these scientists stupid, or do they think we're stupid? This is the words of science. This is the Democrat science right here. Entropy always increases with time. Entropy is the lack of order or predictability, the gradual decline into disorder. That's the words of the scientists. I didn't make that up. When I was in engineering school in 1975, those were the same words. When Galileo Galilei was looking at the stars and the planets with his telescope, those were the laws. How the hell can you believe anything a scientist says? They wonder why we don't believe them. There's three laws of thermodynamics. The first law is that energy, which is also matter, E equals MC squared, Albert Einstein, energy equals matter, basically. First law of thermodynamics is energy cannot be created or destroyed. Second law is for a spontaneous process, the entropy of the universe increases. So spontaneous entropy is the Big Bang. And the entropy of the universe increases. The disorder increases. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, folks. And then they're saying that energy cannot be created nor destroyed. These are facts. This is what they call scientific facts. They're not even theories. They're facts, they call them. Energy cannot be can neither be created nor destroyed. That's energy equals matter. I want you to think about that. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, yet the Big Bang came out of nowhere and made the universe. Then I ask them, where did all that energy come from? Came from the other universe. Came from that big hole where they have no clue. I mean, this is right here is a case against science. I mean, it's in their own words. I no matter how much I look at this, it boggles my mind that any human being could believe a scientist that says we came out of the Big Bang, boom, out of nowhere, and things got better. Now, if you take a paper and make a copy in a copy machine, and take that paper out and put it back in, put the copy back in and make a copy of that and keep doing that, by about the fifth or sixth copy, you can't read what's on the paper. That's entropy. Rocks don't turn into people. All right. I'm going to hold that thought because this is the key to debunking science. And believe me, science has its place. Science can look at the little niche on our planet that they can put their hands on. They can put their research what's going on locally, but on a master scale, the creation of the entire universe cannot be explained by the physical theory. And these are immutable scientific facts or theories, whatever you want to call them. But yeah, entropy and El Carpe says entropy and genetic drift are different. That's true. See, we're all pre-programmed. Regardless of whether it came from fantastic evolution and this reverse entropy or whatever you want to call it, we are all pre-programmed. So when Darwin went out and he saw different birds, and he said, these birds survived on this island, and these other ones survived on this other island. This one island had alligators, the other one had crocodiles, and the birds looked different. You know, the birds looked different. And they did because the genes are pre-programmed to manipulate, just like human genes. You know, they're pre-programmed to manipulate. Some people are not affected by one virus or one bacteria, and others are not. And over time, the ones who are not affected will change into people that are affected. I've never seen a person change into a dog or a dog into a person, though. And for that same question on how old is the planet, I'm not questioning how old the planet is right now. That's not an issue right now. The issue is whether or not randomness could congeal into order, and according to the scientists and physicists, that can't happen. Now, even the scientists, there was a great article a while back, and it was in Scientific American of all magazines, which I don't read anymore because they became too politically incorrect, unfortunately. And they said they did a calculation on the supercomputers to figure out how long it would take to create life with random mutation, given this energy from a sun, given the energy from a planet, putting all the factors together and everything we know today. And they started the calculations at random and they figured out that it would take, I think it was a trillion times longer than the universe has been in existence right now, to create just one cell, a single cell. That's the science. That's the scientist saying that. And yeah, thank you, El Carre. If you want to comment, was that, you know, wanted to see where I'm coming from. Yeah, if you missed the beginning, by the way, it's worthwhile going back. When at the end of the show, we post them. It's well worth it because this is a kind of a discussion on how you can go up against people that go against the belief that God created, that there is a God, which is the demise of our society because of that. Now, if the universe were pre-programmed, say by God, for life, or if it was created in its entirety, you know, it says that God created. You can read the Bible, and the interesting thing about the Christian version, actually all the old original, the Old Testament, and the five books of Moses and everything that most religions are based on, that very beginning, the original Hebrew, the only place in the Bible, there's many times in the Bible when a day is mentioned, but the only time that a day as indicating a 24-hour day. There's a special little character they put underneath that, the word for day in Hebrew. And that little character means a 24-hour day from sunrise or from sunset to sunset. The only seven times that's used in the Bible is in the 7 days of creation. You can make of that what you like. But, you know, if God is all-powerful and almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, then could not God create an entire functional, ready to roll universe in 7 days? You know, our factories across the world put out a car in less than a day. And yes, I'm not a another question, same person. Am I a Hebrew scholar? No, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I did have seminary. And we did do some basic Hebrew, or a lot of Hebrew, and also Aramaic. In order to understand the scriptures, you need to be somewhat versed in both the Hebrew and Aramaic. And a lot of those original writings, you know, talk of the creation as a true 7 days. And that's what, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists believe in that. And again, this is not the point here. The point is whether or not, you know, whether or not creation could have come from nothing. And again, the actual creation is against the physics. Now, what about the chance of a human being formed? What are the odds? Now, a couple things. So you've got a universe. Now, let's pretend the universe came into existence. And now you've got this great universe. And suddenly these creatures develop, these plants and these creatures develop. Why? What's the purpose? What is the purpose of life? Why is there life? Why are there humans? Why can we see and think? You know, I don't think we'll ever understand it, where it's beyond our comprehension. But, oh, thank you, Carpe. Unfortunately, the show's almost over. Maybe we can try this another time. You want to come back in? We'll do this again. We have about 5 minutes left. So, and thank you for El Carpe from telling me that, for enjoying the show and the topics. The purpose of existence and life in general, if not to observe God's great creation, what's it for? And what's the purpose of creating things like an eyeball? You know, like, did natural disorder suddenly say, gee, I'm going to put an eyeball in this cell with this clump of cells? I'm going to put some hands and feet on this clump of cells. To what end? For what purpose? There is no logical reason for life unless life was created for a purpose. Now, in a future episode, since we've only got a half hour in these shows, we're going to have to go over, I was hoping, you know, I do a whole class on this thing. It takes about 6 weeks. So we're going to try and have to do this in a series, I think. But the whole purpose of life in my opinion is to observe the great creation of God. Because there's so many parts. Look at the parts. Do you realize, I'm going to end the show because we are running out of time. I'm glad there's so many people. Please do come back. Maybe we'll continue this next week. I was going to hold it off, but maybe we'll continue the topic next week since there's a lot of people that are really interested. And the earlier you get there, the better you chime in. If you look at a human being and the parts that go into it, do you realize that 90% of the human body, well, 80% is water. The remaining 90% of the remaining 20% is non-human particles. It's either bacteria, viral segments, pieces of stuff we ate that have incorporated themselves into our bodies. So, you know, it's crazy because we're not really human. We're made up of bugs, bacteria, mostly water. And when you look at what's left, most of the space between that is a vacuum. There's nothing, because the space between atoms and between molecules, it's pretty much nothing. So we're basically made of nothing. We're here for a reason. Because there's no other reason to be here than to observe God's creation. And boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of great conversations going on in the background here. But who knows? Who knows where all that goes? We'll save this for a topic for another night, though, because we have turned into a pumpkin here. And happy Valentine's Day to all the ladies out there and all the people that celebrate Valentine's Day. And again, you know, just get some thought to where we came from, and we actually have, you know, there's no scientific way to explain creation, and science actually explains it away, as we said at the very beginning, the laws of thermodynamics and entropy. So if you haven't looked at those or you missed the beginning of the show, please listen to it after the podcast terminates. The very, very important information at the very beginning of the show today. And thank you so much for all coming by today. Stay away from the chicken wings, since you can't get them anymore because of the truckers being blocking the borders, and keep an eye on Sunday and see if the truckers head out from the Super Bowl. That's going to be interesting. That's one of the other things I said at the beginning. It's going to be very, very interesting to see whether or not they actually support the cause and surround the Super Bowl stadium and block the Super Bowl. That'd be really cool. I'm waiting for that one. I just can't see that. But anyway, so God bless every one of you. Thank you so much for everyone from coming by. And we're here again every Thursday, 10 p.m. And yeah, stupid. Stupid Bowl. That's what I called it earlier. Thank you, El Carpe. Yep. Thank you all for coming by. You have a great night. God bless everyone. This is just so wonderful to have such a great crowd today. Keep God in your heart, in your soul, and may God follow you through the days until next Thursday. We are here again. We will see you later. God bless every one of you. Good night, everybody. God bless you.